To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, episode 61. Mark DeLuzio. We're going to call this one From Gold to the Printing Press, How Average Americans Were Betrayed. And by the way, we still are being betrayed. I don't think many Americans grasp the severity of what's going on in our economy and how their dollar has been devalued over 88% since President Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971. But I'm going to explain all this today, and hopefully you'll get a better feel for what this is all about. Now, imagine pulling a dollar bill out of your wallet and knowing without question that it represented a precise amount of gold sitting, waiting in some federal vault somewhere. Wouldn't that give you confidence? No discretion, no emergency printing, no trillion-dollar balance sheets, no federal debt. For most of modern history, money had this anchor. Today, that anchor is gone. And I'm going to let you know how it got to be abolished and why. We're going to explain the gold standard to you, something a lot of people talk about. I'm not sure they really understand what it all means. How it restrained our government from runaway spending, why it collapsed, and how the Bretton Woods Agreement, Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, by the way, tried and failed to save it, and how the Federal Reserve expanded the money supply after 1971, and how one of our key founders, Thomas Jefferson, warned us about this more than two centuries ago. This is not, you know, theory. This is real economic calamity that we're facing today, and it's all about power and the consequences of where you, the American citizen, are bearing the brunt of it, and we'll get into that a little bit more. Before I start, let's just talk about what the heck is money. If somebody were to ask you, you know, what is money? It really serves three functions. I can remember going back, way back thousands of years, people created their own currency out of seashells. And then, you know, of course, the Romans and what have you, the ancient times, they minted coins out of gold. They did all kinds of different things, right? It's a medium of exchange. Because if I raise chickens, in order for me to trade those chickens with something that you have, you're going to have chickens. And if you don't want chickens, I can't buy what you have, okay? So it didn't really help me that I had something of value that I couldn't, you know, use to acquire other goods and services that I needed. So it was a medium of exchange. It was a store of value. And it was a unit of measure, a unit of account, so that we can always look at our bank accounts, our savings, and understand our monetary situation. Okay? I mean, if I had 2 million chickens, I could say I'm rich in chickens, but it's not going to do me much good because I don't have all that much purchasing power with that many chickens. So, for centuries, gold and silver, but primarily gold, emerged as money not governed by decree. And we'll talk about decree a little bit later, but by market choice. So it was something that you could turn in for gold. It was backed by something of value, okay? You could not create money unless you had something real behind it. And that rule really did matter. And by the way, that rule's gone today. So we're going to get more into this as we go through. Now, let's talk about Thomas Jefferson. To me, perhaps one of the most brilliant founding fathers. His vision and foresight and wisdom was, you know, were amazing. We have a couple of episodes in this podcast on Thomas Jefferson and what a, you know, brilliant person he was. Now, he never used the word gold standard, but he clearly explained how sound money should work and why it mattered. Jefferson believed money must be grounded in something real, not political promises, which, by the way, is where we are today. To him, gold and silver were money because they had intrinsic value and could not be created by decree. Fiat currency, you might have heard that word. Fiat currency is Latin for let it be done, or money is worth something just because the government says it is worth something by decree. So our money today is backed by the government saying, yeah, that dollar bill in your pocket is worth something by decree. That is fiat money, not backed by something solid like gold. Okay. And by the way, every currency in the world today is fiat currency. It is not backed by anything. All right. And that's a real problem. Now, Jefferson warned, paper is poverty. Paper money, he's talking about. It is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Okay? He believed paper money allowed governments and banks to quietly transfer wealth from the public to elites through inflation. And he is 100% correct. And I'm going to explain how that works as we go forward in this episode. He viewed inflation as a hidden tax. Okay, so over the last, you know, 4 years of Biden, he came in on what number you want to believe, 20, 30% inflation, which means that your purchasing power is worth less because things cost more. And the true definition of inflation is the expansion of the money supply. The more you have of anything, it's going to be worth less, okay? The more you have of tomatoes, automobiles, housing, the more the market is flooded with supply of goods or services, the value is going to go down, okay? Because there's not as much demand. Well, the same thing happens with money. We talk about the M2 money supply. The same thing happens with money. When money inflates and they add more money, they print money, the Federal Reserve does, to our monetary system, the dollar you have is worth less. And that is perhaps the cruelest amount, cruelest type of tax, simply because, first of all, you already pay taxes on that money, number one. And it's sitting in your bank account. You have $10,000. If there's 10% inflation, it's going to go down to purchasing power of $9,000, even though your bank account might still say $10,000. It's the cruelest tax and the most, what we call the hidden tax, okay? Jefferson said he sincerely believes that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, okay? And he supported a bimetallic system of gold and silver, and he laid it out in a report in 1792 on the mint. Now, paper currency, in his view, should only represent metal, not replace it. Now, if you go to the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, which are the 18 enumerated powers of Congress, Congress has the power to coin money, not print money. And that is in there for a specific reason, that Jefferson in particular wanted to stay away from paper currency because he knew the danger, okay? Let's just look at it this way. Let's say the government holds $10,000 worth of gold. So it issues $10,000 worth of paper currency, okay? So now the gold reserve is $10,000. the paper currency in the marketplace, whether it's you, your neighbors, whoever else, there's $10,000 of paper currency. But now the government says, well, wait a minute now. Instead, we're going to issue another $10,000 of currency into the marketplace. This is the equivalent of the Federal Reserve printing money, okay? How much is your money worth now? It's worth half because it's $20,000 of currency only supported by $10,000 of gold, okay? So now we use the gold standard to limit how much money the government can actually create, and that limited spending, okay? So you see how that works now? So this doesn't happen overnight, by the way. You don't just automatically see your dollars not worth what they were immediately, okay? The purchasing power is silent. It's cut in half, but it's silent, okay? You will pay later in higher prices. And this is why Jefferson believed inflation was not an accident. It was a transfer of wealth from the average American to the most elite in our nation, okay? And in a bit, I'll explain a little bit more detail how this works. Jefferson thought that sound money was inseparable from liberty. Think about that. If you have less money, less purchasing power, you may not be able to buy a house. How many young kids today can't afford to buy a house? I mean, I bought a house when I was 24. Okay. Way back in the 80s, 80 now, we got married in 1980. So 1982, we bought our first house. Okay. Paid $70,000 for it. I thought that was a horrendous amount of money. Right. Now my cars are worth more than that. So lack of financial wherewithal is a damper on your freedom. We can't take that vacation this year. We can't go buy that cottage down by the beach. We can't buy, a car for your children, okay? It limits your freedom. And Jefferson understood the tie between property, in this case money, and freedom, okay? So as the government takes your money and continues to increase taxes or print money through inflation, they're taking away your freedom. And that's something that most Americans, I don't really think, understand truly, right? Matter of fact, I had one guy tell me, I don't mind paying taxes. Really? Do you see what we're doing with your money unconstitutionally? And you're just sitting there like Mr. Benevolent? Well, I don't think I pay enough taxes. One guy actually told me that. I'd say, look, there's nothing stopping you from from writing a check to the U.S. Treasury. They'll cash your check. Trust me. Go right ahead. Be my guest. Matter of fact, why don't you do it now? Let me watch you do it. You know, big talk, right? All this big talk. Jefferson thought unbacked paper money threatened the Republic itself. And he's absolutely right that it does. Now, let's talk about the gold standard. I talked a little bit about it earlier. So governments fixed the price of gold, okay? Currency was redeemable for gold. So if you had currency, and you can go and actually redeem it for gold, should you desire so, okay? The money supply was limited by these gold reserves held by the government, which prevented them from increasing the money supply and then going hog wild on whatever spending they thought was, you know, necessary. Long-term prices were stable, and disciplined government spending was disciplined, okay? It prevented the government and the central bank, if you will, from trying to solve any type of problem that comes along its way with money. How often have you seen this, that we pass a bill, it doesn't have the desired effect, it costs, you know, billions of dollars, and the next thing they say is, oh, we need more money in that bill without any accountability, Well, any root cause analysis as to why the original bill didn't work, and as a matter of fact, it probably created five more problems, which is typically what a government bill does. So think about it. This would have prevented that, okay? From the late 1800s to about World War I, the gold standard worked very well. Trade expanded. Currencies were trusted. Inflation was minimal, right? War destroyed that discipline when we went to war in World War I. Now, let me give you some stats here. I may get the dates a little bit wrong, but in this, if you took $100 of goods and services in the late 1700s, let's say 1790, 95, okay, and fast forward to when the Federal Reserve was passed in 1913, those goods and services would be worth a market basket of $108. Once the Federal Reserve was passed and all this other stuff I'm going to talk about with the gold standard went on in the 20th century, in 2008, when we had the big economic collapse, that $100 of goods in the late 1700s or $108 in 1913 was valued at over $2,400. That's what it would have cost you. Okay, that's what we're talking about with inflation. Okay, let me think about that. Okay, all those of you old enough, you're going back to the 1970s, you probably remember, gas prices under a dollar. You probably remember, I mean, my minimum wage when I started work when I turned 16 was $1.85, okay? And I was thrilled when it went up to $2.20, okay? So, although back then I didn't understand the damage of a minimum wage did to the economy, but now I do. But back then I was a kid, what did I know, right? So World War I, that's where it all kind of fell apart. And this is around the time where we created the Federal Reserve, you know. So we had to spend our gold in World War I to finance the war. Our debt exploded. Attempts to restore gold failed because modern politics demanded spending without restraint. Sound familiar? Now, there is a downside, a weakness of the gold standard, because if the gold standard grows slowly and the economies grow faster, there is a deflationary effect, okay? But I think today, I think that's perhaps a old concern, because of modern technology with mining and everything else, that we can continue to increase the gold supply, all right? But that's one, caveat with the gold standard, so let's kind of look at both sides of the equation. Now, the darling of the left, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, actually criminalized the ownership of gold for American citizens, okay? In the early 1930s, the United States was trapped in a Great Depression, as we all know. Banks were failing. Credit had collapsed. Deflation was crushing debtors. The Federal Reserve kept interest rates high, which made financing impossible. You heard about all the farms going bust, the Dust Bowl. That's what happened there. Okay. But the gold standard was still in place. So that meant government could not freely expand the money supply. So what did Roosevelt do? In 1933, he took a step which was unprecedented, okay? And for you people out there who are big Bitcoin fans, okay, keep this in mind, all right? He made private ownership of gold illegal. Executive Order 6102, I don't even know if that was constitutional. I should have looked into that, but I don't know how the government can do that. But Americans were ordered to turn in their gold coins, bullion, certificates to the Federal Reserve in exchange for paper dollars. And the fixed price that the government set was $20.67 an ounce. If you refused, it was a federal crime, $10,000 in a fine, which today is worth over $200,000, if you look at the inflation impact of that, and 10 years in prison. How's that for the darling of the left, federal FDR, who actually gave us Social Security? Okay. For the first time in U.S. history, Americans were legally forbidden from owning the very money that once backed their currency. Why did he do this? As long as citizens could demand gold in exchange for dollars, the government was still constrained. Okay? People were hoarding gold. They were not spending dollars. Banks were losing their financial reserves. And the Federal Reserve could not expand credit without risking the collapse in gold backing. Okay? So, the government removed its legal right to own gold. I'd love to hear what Thomas Jefferson would say about that today. Okay? And basically, with that, the restraint on the money supply went away. Okay? But that was step one. After they confiscated the gold, remember, they bought it back from Americans at $20.67. They revalued it at $35 an ounce. This was a 69% devaluation of the dollar overnight. How's that for you? Right, your government fighting for you, right? The American citizen. But they had to sell, remember, citizens had to sell the gold at the old price at $20.67. So when they reset the higher price, they kept the profit for themselves. In effect, wealth was transferred from private citizens to the federal government through monetary decree. And by the way, that's happening today, which I'll get into in a minute. Now, some say, hey, it was necessary to fight deflation and restart economic activity. There were some supporters of this, believe it or not, back then. It did allow more money to be created. Remember what I said about earlier, when the money supply expands, the dollar deflates. And that's what happened. That's what this whole $35 thing was all about. Okay, because now they had that 69% window to be able to print more money. Okay. And of course, more debt was issued. Now, remember how this works. The Federal Reserve prints money, expands the money supply, takes that money, and buys our debt through treasury bills and other treasury instruments. Okay. And then they issue those through the banks. Okay. The member banks, because every bank has to be a member of the Federal Reserve. All right. Short term, it was a Band-Aid. Long term, the consequences were enormous. It permanently broke the idea that Americans had a legal right to sell money. And we seem to have forgotten about all this, right? They don't teach you this in school, by the way, okay? They'll teach you Keynesian economics, but they won't teach you this. And the government can create the rules it wants to say, hey, your gold is only worth $20.67. Forget about what the market would value that at. And only, by the way, you can't own it. And only, by the way, you go to jail and pay big fines if you do, or if you're caught owning it. And only, by the way, give it up, okay? And then they devalued it. So that set the stage for Bretton Woods, Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. Let's get into that, okay? After the Second World War, Bretton Woods, the group got together and tied global currencies to the U.S. dollar. Okay, so all currencies around the world were tied to the U.S. dollar. And it was tied at, guess what, $35 an ounce. Okay? Only governments could redeem for gold, not citizens, right? It did work temporarily because it held, the U.S. held most of the gold. And the flaw, though, was fatal. What happened was the U.S. had to supply dollars to the world and guarantee gold could be converted. Global trade expanded. And as the economy expanded, dollars multiplied, but gold did not. So they call this the Triffin dilemma. Triffin was an economist and said, the world's reserve currency must continue to run deficits. In other words, the U.S., because it's our dollars that were the world's currency, we must continue to run deficits. And again, deficits are when our budget and our expenditures are less than, are greater than the tax revenue to pay for it, okay? Which means running deficits, the only way to pay for that is you continue to print money. And that's what's been going on now. To meet the, you know, the growing currency needs in the world. But the conflict was this. This is the Triffin dilemma. Running deficits undermines the trust in the reserve currency itself, in the U.S. dollar. So what happened? Foreign governments started demanding gold because there's a lack of trust, right? We didn't have enough gold. So in 1971, what did Nixon do? He suspended the gold standard, got rid of it, and gold was gone. No longer is our currency or any other currency in the world backed by any precious metal. Thank you, Richard Nixon, okay? Of course, the Federal Reserve, the monetary explosion. Let's look at the M2 money supply is what we usually look at when we talk about the money supply, okay? In 1971, the money supply, the M2 money supply was $700 billion. By 2000, it exceeded $4.5 trillion. 2020, $15 trillion. 2022, $21 trillion. And in December, just this past December, a couple months ago, in 2025, it was $22.4 trillion. The Federal Reserve balance sheet grew under $1 trillion in 2008 to $9 trillion after COVID. This was not accidental. This is exactly what the elites in government and also in the banking industry all wanted. This was the policy, okay? So what happened? Asset prices soared because of this inflation. Stocks, hard assets like stocks, hard, housing, financial assets, all increase. Now, it kills me when politicians use the Dow Jones Industrial Market or the S&P 500 to as an indicator of a sound economy. It's not the case at all. Think about it. The consequences of unstrained money, asset prices like stocks, soared because of this issue. Because what happens is, and by the way, our wages lagged, our savings eroded. Remember what I told you about savings? That money sitting in your bank account gets devalued when these fools are printing money. And now your $10,000 can only buy $9,000 worth of goods, okay? The people closest to the money that's created get the benefit. Who is that? Investors and banks, okay? Think about it. Banks pay back loans. So they'll take a loan from a bank, okay? An investor will take a loan from a bank and buy a bunch of assets, whatever they may be. That fixed interest loan, over the course of time, once inflation takes its ugly toll on the currency, you're paying back that fixed interest with cheaper dollars. Right. So, you know, if you're paying back $1,000 in interest a month, okay, in a couple of years with, you know, 15, 20% inflation, you're still paying back $1,000, but the dollars are only worth $800. So you're actually paying back your loan with cheaper dollars. That's one thing. Secondly, the assets that you purchased with that loan that you're paying back with cheaper dollars increases in value. Okay? So it's a double whammy. Now, who pays for that? You do. The American people pay for that through inflation in their own bank accounts, okay, in their own when they go to the grocery store or buy a car or whatever, right? And we have to pay back the government debt and interest with our tax dollars. Today is February 23rd, 2026. Our debt is sitting at around $38.4 trillion. Okay. That's 125% of our gross domestic product. Again, GDP is all the goods and services produced in a given year. Okay. And over $1 trillion, which represents 14% of our federal budget, $1 trillion is interest payments that we have to pay back. Now, isn't that a nice job? Think about it. Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing. They create it into existence. They buy our debt, and then we got to pay them back with real money, be it devalued, but we got to still pay them back with real money. Not only the principal, but the interest. I'd love to have a business like that. I wouldn't have any labor. I wouldn't have any materials. I wouldn't have any overhead. I'd just sit at a computer and literally, with a few keystrokes, create money into thin air, out of thin air, and then spend it, buy the debt, and be expected to pay back with interest by you, who's working your butts off in, I can't remember, you know, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, very few two-family incomes in my neighborhood. And I grew up in a lower middle-class, blue-collar neighborhood, okay? Father was a tool and die maker. My mother went to the seventh grade, okay? So we just did not have these two-family two-income families. Today, it's unheard of, okay? And mom stayed home and did what moms do, right? Today, the American dream is gone. And the American people basically got betrayed by our own government. Now, when you look at the interest on our debt of over $1 trillion, our defense budget is just north of $900 million, lower than the interest that we have to pay. Think about that. That's a tipping point, I think, where we're going to have a real problem going forward, all right? So, look, we need to get back to the gold standard. Everybody says, well, it's impossible. You can't take something that was done before and just implement it now. There are different thoughts about how to do this, okay? But how can anybody think fiat currency demand are going to garner the trust that we have once you look at all this data and once you look at all of the things that these people are doing, okay? Gold did not fail because it was flawed. It failed because governments refused to honor our Constitution in terms of spending, and also ignore what our founders, in particular Thomas Jefferson, had to say about a central bank and about paper currency, okay? So gold did restrain power, okay? And it did, you know, put us in charge to some degree, which this government was designed for us to own and be in charge, okay? Today, forget it. It's all about trust in our government, and I think our trust is eroding time and time again. And the whole calamity with the elimination of the gold standard, you could take that and just say our freedoms were taken away, okay? And it's not going to get better. It is not going to get better. Hate to deliver the bad news, but Jefferson warned us, all right? When our money loses its anchor, he warned us. And again, go right into the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. You'll see that Congress can coin money, because when you coin money, you're actually creating something out of a precious metal. Although, you know, you look back at the Roman Empire, when they took and shaved off their coins to create more coins, that was their way of printing money, because all they had back then was coins. They would actually take a gold coin and shave it off and take all that gold and mint new money. So that's how they expanded the money supply, which is one of the key reasons why the Roman Empire failed. And this printing of money and expanding the money supply, you get that euphoria right off the bat, but you pay for it later. It's like a hangover, okay? You can have a bottle of whiskey, but the next day and the next couple days, you're going to be paying for it. That is exactly what printing money is all about. And we're going to pay for it. So as we continue to print money, and by the way, when Biden had that $1.6 trillion Inflation Reduction Act, I was, and this goes where, you know, Americans just don't have an understanding, okay? The government's going to take, and they're going to print money, buy our debt, the Federal Reserve will be, government's going to take that money and infuse it into the economy to get some kind of euphoria. But the fact that they printed money to give to the government through debt is inflation. So the very act called the Inflation Reduction Act created inflation from the first step it was implemented. But Americans didn't understand that, okay? And I go back to our school system. I've got a couple episodes on that and how Americans just don't understand what's going on in these kind of, you know, situations. So it's sad. And, you know, there is another episode I have in terms of what the options are to get rid of our debt. But the answers, I think I gave you five options. None of them are pretty. None of them are pretty. Okay. All right. Well, look, hope you understand the gold standard now. Hope you understand a little bit about what happened, what transpired, who were some of the players, you know, on both sides of the aisle. And I've been saying this for the longest time. Our republic is being dismantled on both sides of the aisle. So here we have FDR, a Democrat. By the way, it goes back to Woody Wilson, who signed off on the Federal Reserve and created unconstitutional agencies and what led to the United Nations. Okay. And you got FDR as a Democrat, and you got Nixon, who took us off the gold standard, as a Republican. So, no, the answer is not a third party. Trust me. Why would you think another party would be as pure and moral and constitutionally oriented as the two parties that are supposed to be that already? Okay. All right. Mark DeLuzio, episode 61. From Gold to the Printing Press, How the Average Americans were Betrayed. See you next time. God bless. Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.